You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's style is very unique, where he shares the message of the gospel unlike anyone else. It's real, refreshing, focused, and fun. Whether you find yourself in a good place, maybe in a difficult place, or possibly even in a very lonely place, let me encourage you that you've come to the right place. Now, if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's talk, you can always listen to, download, and even share this entire message with a friend right from our website, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Prime Rib. I actually have this in my notes here. Women are the bomb. And if you don't know what that means, that's a good thing. I live, as you know, most of you know, I live with four women. I would not want to be a woman. I mean, I think it's a horrible thing, you know. From a man's perspective, watching women, I mean, without getting too detailed, as I usually do, you know, you got female issues, and we all know what female issues are. I can't even keep up with the calendar myself. How you live through all that is just amazing. You know, you got that monthly thing, you got that menopause thing. I mean, it's just nonstop something, you know. So I don't want to be a woman. I have huge respect for women. I don't get them, and I do not understand what's going on, what they're talking about. You know, it's like, it's another language. I'm going to make it. But women are amazing. Amazing women are amazing. We'll just say that. Turn to Genesis chapter 2. Usually start here when you go talking about women. And things were still good here, at least up to a point. Genesis chapter 2, jump into verse 15. It says, "Then the Lord God took the man and he put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may eat freely, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." Doesn't say like him, comparable to him. "Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air." And by the way, you know, man was made of dirt. God did the same thing. It says out of the ground. So God's, you know, he's got a lot of dirt under his nails for a while there, creating stuff. Everything comes out of the ground. "The birds of the air brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name." Now, let me really, really jump in here, parenthetic. I was doing a little research this week, and I punched into my phone under a dictionary app that I have and looked up Eve or woman or whatever, and the dictionary actually referred to her as part of the biblical mythology. And I thought, are you kidding me? You're going to put that in the dictionary? You may think it's mythology. I don't think it's mythology. I think all this stuff actually happened. And you say, well, you're naive. You know what? It had to start somewhere. I mean, if you think you're from a monkey, you just, you know, knock yourself out. I'm not going that route. Anyhow, so I read this stuff. I think this stuff actually happened. Verse 20, "So Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the birds of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him." He had nobody. He was by himself. Now, let me make a comment here. I know, I actually believe that probably the highest calling biblically is to be single. And I think our culture throws single people completely under the bus. I mean, Paul talks about this. If you know, it's better to marry than burn. So basically, people who can't contain themselves end up married or they fall in love, whatever. But you could serve God and get a whole lot more done by yourself. A wife, children, husband, children, all this is a lot of distraction. So as long as you can go serving God by yourself, you can get a lot more done. I'm not anti-marriage, anti-kids or family, but I think we relegate being single to something else and put an inordinate amount of pressure. I usually say to my girls, if you choose to marry, if you choose to go to college, if you choose to do these things, because if I'm forcing them, that's putting something on them that they are not making that choice. So give them the freedom to make these decisions. But I will say this, I don't do well alone. And the book flat out says this, it's not good for man to be alone. The average guy, I think, does not do very well by himself. So God again says, I'll make a helper comparable for him. The Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took out one of his ribs, and as I refer to it, a prime rib, and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. Everything else is coming from dirt, but women don't come from dirt. I thought I'd get a couple of amens from the women there. I mean, you think when a woman says your name is mud to a man, it's actually very biblical. Women were not created from dirt. They were taken out of man. And I'm going to read you a bunch of verses and just kind of in the middle of all this, what I'm trying to say today. I think a lot of times men are like tiptoeing around, you know, if I say the wrong thing and make her upset or something, all hell will break loose. And women, you know, she'll shove some scissors in my forehead or, you know, whatever you think's going to happen. You know, we get all nervous. We don't want to make the women upset. You got the lead, gentlemen. You know, if this is about keeping all the women happy all the time, that ain't happening anyway. And who knows what can trigger that unhappiness? You know, I don't speak all that language. Women seem to understand each other. I don't know what it is. But you cannot cower. You can lead. You can love. But you've got to step up in these situations and say, you know what? We're not doing this anymore. And you say, well, but she won't do this for me. And, you know, we barter. You know what? You got to stop playing these games. If you're going to be a man, be a man. You're going to be a husband, be a husband. You're going to be a father, be a father. And if there's consequence from that, there's going to be a whole lot worse consequences if you don't lead. It's easy to get up here and say it up here, it seems. Try to take that to the house. It works in my house. My wife isn't actually here today, so it's working out even better for me. Takes this rib out, builds this woman. And I love this. He brought her to the man in verse 22. And I, you know, if you've never seen a woman before, this has got to be an amazing moment. You know, God's been cranking animals, all this junk out of the dirt, and everything looks like something else. Nothing looks like him. And then God puts him to sleep, takes a rib, builds a woman around that rib, and then presents her. I mean, I think that's part of the reason why it's like, whoa, man. You know, that's where that whole word comes from. Whoa, man. Brings her to the man. Adam said, this is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to him. And it's interesting here, immediately she is referred to as his wife. You say, well, who married him? What is this about? From scratch, God put a man on the planet, takes a woman out of him, builds this woman, puts them together, and that's his wife. And this is an old joke, but it, you know, and I'm not trying to go after one particular thing. It's Adam and Eve. It's not Adam and Steve. This woman is comparable to him, but not like him. God did not design for men to be with men and women to be with women, period. You say, well, you're not being politically correct. I could give a rat's anything about being politically anything. Therefore, a man leaves his father and mother, join his wife. They become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. So that's where this thing starts. Women not made from dirt. Women taken out of a man and made. Okay, then go over to Genesis chapter 3. We'll jump in here at verse 15. And there's already some stuff in here about Jesus, believe it or not, in Genesis chapter 3. Now they've sinned. They've messed this whole thing up. They're still a couple. They're still together. Verse 15, I will put enmity, or just stress, a war almost it is, between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. Women don't have seed, but this capital S in my Bible refers to Jesus himself coming. He shall bruise your head, you shall bruise his heel. To the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Now, this is another thing that makes people very uncomfortable. Like, well, but men and women are equal. They are not equal. I play golf every once in a while. They got girls' tees. You know why they have girls' tees? Because women aren't as strong as men. Some of them are. I'll give you that. But by design, on the average, women are not equal to men. That's okay. The Bible calls them in the King James the weaker vessel. I don't, you know, I like weaker vessels myself. You know, I know some of you guys like the strong vessels, but I like a weaker vessel. I like women being women. I'm okay. We'll go up to the tees and let them hit. They're not competing with us. They don't have to be like men because they are not men. It's okay, ladies, to be a woman. I love the way God made women. I knew I'd get an amen after some brother out there. And hopefully you're just referring to your woman. So keep reading here. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. And, you know, I think I do have to say this. I don't think that changes in the New Testament. I think men and women spiritually are equal. And I'll read you a verse about that. But men are supposed to lead. And ladies, you say, well, I don't want some man telling me what to do. Then don't pick a man who's not listening to what God tells him to do, and you won't have as much trouble. You may be getting yourself in trouble by picking these stupid men. You picked the wrong man. You don't want to be led by him, but you picked him. So don't be blaming this on men. You want your life to be a biblical, godly life. You say, well, it's too late. You're throwing me under the bus now because I've already made a bad decision. Then make a right decision and say, God, help me. This is who you put me with. I'm under your authority, ultimately, God. You've given me this husband. He's a piece of work. But scripturally, I know what I'm supposed to do. So give me the grace and the courage and whatever I need to be the woman you want me to be. And then pray that God will change your husband. Or take him home, or, you know, whatever has to happen. That happens every once in a while, too. Be careful praying for that one, unless you've got that funeral insurance. All right, jump into verse 17. Then to Adam, he said, because you have indeed heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. You know, part of the reason why we're all in trouble is because Adam did not lead. You say, well, the woman listened to all that and did it. Adam didn't have to stand by there and let it happen. And there's consequence for him for not stepping up and leading from the get-go. Verse 18, both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. You shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Everybody born, traceable to Eve. Go to Proverbs 31. We got a few more minutes. Proverbs 31. And I'm not going to read this whole thing, but I do recommend that you read it. Proverbs 31:1 says this, the words of King Lemuel. So this is a guy writing this. The utterances which his mother taught him. Okay, so this mama had a huge influence on King Lemuel, but look what she said. What, my son, and what son of my womb, and what son of my vows, do not give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroys kings. Helen Rowland said this, it takes a woman 20 years to make a man out of her son, and another woman 20 minutes to make a fool of him. Think about it. Verse 4 again, it is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine or princesses intoxicating drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the justice of all the afflicted. Give strong drink to him who is perishing, wine to those who are bitter in heart. Goes on to give more advice here and gets into this thing, who can find a virtuous woman. And let me jump down here, it describes this amazing woman. And then down in verse 27, jump in there. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing. But look at this. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. You show me a woman who fears the Lord, and I'll show you somewhere somebody along the way is going to be praising that woman. You're an amazing woman. You're an extraordinary woman. And I think, thank God, women sometimes are better about telling other women these things than men are about telling women. But somebody's got to say it, because I think we need to hear it, and women need encouragement along the way. Go to Proverbs 21:19. Just flip back to Proverbs again. I left this one out. There's a couple of these. Maybe I'll just do one. Proverbs 21, verse 19. I'm hearing snickers as people find this verse. Now, I'm glad this is in the Bible, because amazing women are amazing, but women can be a piece of work as well as men. Now, look what this says. Better to dwell in a corner of a housetop than in a house shared with a contentious woman. You get one woman who just flies off the handle, always wanting to fight, always wanting to argue. Gentlemen, do not pick these girls. You young men, I don't care how hot she is, what she promises you, watch her, date her. That's why you don't marry somebody after 20 minutes. You give it some time. and see who she really is, because you could be stuck with that for a very, very, very long time. And you would be better off in the corner of a housetop, in the attic, basically. If you want another verse to go with this, go to 27:15, Proverbs 27:15. And the reason I bring these verses up, you say, well, I thought you were trying to say women are the bomb and they're great. They're great, but when they're horrible, they can be horrible. And if you need more verses, I have them. I just don't have the guts to read them all. 27:15. Listen to 27:15. A continual dripping on a very rainy day, like Chinese water torture, and a contentious woman are alike. Drip, 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 just drip, drip. Like, just the same thing. It's torture. Okay. Just need a little balance in every sermon. All right, go back to Ephesians 5. I've been asking a lot of questions lately of women about each other. And I've also discovered there is, I don't know what I'd call it yet, but I do think it's like woman code. And women know things about other women that men do not know. But I'm finding out. Women watch other women who are moving in on their men. A woman knows when another woman is moving in on her man and something inappropriate is about to go on. And most men are brain dead to these things. And women, the feathers will come up, you know, the nails get longer. And there's stuff that happens that you are completely unaware of. Women watching women, because women know what women are capable of in a very bad place. And that's all I have to say about that. But I'm doing more research along the way. Ephesians chapter 5. Let's jump down to verse 22. I usually do these at weddings, and I've read this. If you go back through the years, I read this repeatedly because I think we've got to come back to this. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband, and this is New Testament, the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. And everybody gets nervous and says, you can't put women in that place. You sound like you're trying to put them in their place, and that's not good, and we're equal and all that. You know what? The book says that the husband is the head of the wife. And somebody came along then and said, and the wife, you know, is the neck and turns her whichever way she pleases. I understand we try to twist that around. But that's just what it says. And that's all it says here about the wife, that that's the place. And in the same way that Christ is head of the church and he is the savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands and everything. Now, I actually know couples who are like this. Some of the strongest men I know have married very strong women. You can be a strong woman and be submissive. In fact, it takes more wisdom and more strength to do that. Now, does that mean that my wife never says anything, never has an opinion? Absolutely not. And we have discussions and we have, you know, hammer things out. But the buck has to stop somewhere. It cannot stop two places. Someone has to make a decision. And ladies, you know, I know some of you guys are already in the mess you've made. But for the young girls especially, do not pick a man you cannot follow. Don't pick a man that you can't follow, and you can't follow a man who's not following Christ, so stay away from him. You say, but he's cute, and he blows in my ear, and he bought me this gift, and he said these right words. You know what? The words are going to run out. Maybe he is too. Pick a man who is under authority, under submission to God, and you won't have these problems. Then you can breathe and relax. God made woman from man to follow. I don't think most women want to lead. I don't think they want that pressure. They want a man to make a decision. A few amens there. Take a deep breath. Pray for your husband if you're married. And if you're not and you want to be, then say, God, please protect me from these idiots out there that I could get stuck with. Well, he's so fly. You know, whatever, you know, figure something out besides that. Is there an interpretation? Thought there might need to be an interpretation on that. All right, so keep reading here with me. Therefore, just as the church subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. And my argument is, if you pick a man who loves you the way that Christ loved the church and was willing to die for it, you're not going to have a problem submitting to that kind of authority. Because any man who's willing to lay his life down for you and loves you that much is not going to be lording it over you at all. you're going to feel so loved. You'll just go, you know, here's what I think, sweetie, but I know you're listening to God and the way you love me. We're going to be okay, aren't we? Absolutely. And you lead. But it's very hard to follow a man who's not following. And the man has to be following Christ for the woman's responsibility and her place in that relationship to work out. Or at least work out better. Jump down to verse 28. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church. And if you've ever seen some guy in the traffic looking in the rearview mirror, you know what this biblical principle is. You know, these guys are like all, you know, all buff. They, you know, why do they have mirrors and workout facilities? Everybody wants to look at themselves. So that what he's playing off here is that men love themselves. So if a man just loves his wife the way he loves himself, she's going to be fine. Because most men are pretty stuck on themselves. Unless you get one of those mirrors that kind of distorts things and doesn't look as good. But all right, keep reading here. Verse 30, for we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. And it starts in this marriage thing again. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. He says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Simple stuff. Let me read you one verse, though, out of this passage in 1 Corinthians 11. Maybe a couple of verses. Verse 8, for man is not from woman, but woman from man, nor was man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this reason, the woman ought to have a symbol of authority over her head because of the angels. And it's talking about prayer here and covering your head and having hair, not having hair, different interpretations on this. But listen to verse 11. Nevertheless, neither is man independent of woman, nor woman independent of man in the Lord. So there's different things. Running a house, having a family, a relationship, there is responsibility. There is submitting. But in the Lord, we are equal. Does everybody get this? Please don't leave her saying, well, he thinks men are better than women. That's not the point. But there is hierarchy in leadership in the family and in the church. Verse 12, for as woman came from man, even so man also comes from woman, but all things are from God. So God took this woman out of the man, but from then on, there are no men without women.
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, richardellistalks.com. You'll find today's talk right there on the Talks page, along with all of Richard's messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. You'll also find the prayer wall to add your prayer requests, a link to connect with us, the contribute page for you to be able to give to this ministry, a radio station finder, all our social media links, and much more. So check it out, richardellistalks.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
Are women extraordinary? Absolutely. Can they be a piece of work? Absolutely. If I don't do a lot of women's ministry, because I'm safe for doing men's ministry. But if I had a way to get little girls before they get sucked into the system and say, look, don't sleep with these guys. Your brain gets clouded. You get your thinking, a double-minded man, a double-minded woman is unstable in all their ways. You cross these lines and you can't think straight. And then you wake up with somebody and go, how did this happen? Make wise choices early. Become the godly woman, the godly young girl, the godly young woman, the godly woman, whatever it is. Listen to what God's trying to tell you. I don't care how hot the guy is, how much money he's got, what he promises, what he tells you. You've got to hear the Holy Spirit inside of you say, this is not the guy or this is the guy. And if you actually do end up married and have a bunch of kids, become a mother, you've got to have a slab to fall back on because there are certain days you're going to want to kill them. Or walk out and not come back and say, I don't know how I got into this mess. Know how you got into the mess and know that it's God himself who put you there and you can handle it. You can stay. We get ourselves in a lot of messes. And if you're already in a mess, and guys, this can go both ways. If you're married to a woman who's a piece of work, then you're going to have to pray. You may have to pray and fast and ask God to change, to stop the dripping. Or you can go back in your house. You say, yeah, but she wouldn't like this when I married her. Yeah, you weren't like the way you were either, probably. In some ways, that can be good, that can be bad. Are women amazing? Absolutely. but it is a decision you make, a commitment you make to follow Christ and figure out how he has designed things and get in the program.
Thanks for listening today to Richard Ellis Talks. We're confident that the program blessed you, and we want to hear about it. One way is to give us a call and let us know. The number is 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is to drop us an email. Jump on over to our website, richardellistalks.com, and click on the Connect tab at the top. We'd love to hear from you. And while you're there at the website, there's a ton of great stuff there just for you. Things like all of the talks from Richard, a prayer wall where you can leave your prayer request, and a whole lot more. Check it out, richardellistalks.com. Finally, we love doing this program for you, but we're so grateful when you hop on board to help us with the cost. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD, or you can contribute through the website. It's easy and much appreciated. 855-6-RICHARD or richardellistalks.com. Until next time, God bless you, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.